Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is set. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time, I do. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. The team's in Pittsburgh, but we're on the air from One Bills Drive tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We'll check in with Bills captain Eric Wood, as he'll join us from Pittsburgh coming up at 7:30. We'll get an agent's eye view of preseason football. Jack Bechta joins us at 8 o'clock. And Scott Petoniak, Rochester sports writer, getting ready to host a brand new Rochester sports talk show, joins us at 8:30 tonight.
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone, touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're here, Orchard Park, our studios at Orchard Park, One Bills Drive, and good evening. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for this Tuesday night. I feel like we've been left behind. We have. The team, everybody, players, coaches, our colleagues, Chris Brown. They're all there. They're all in Pittsburgh tonight at the Wyndham Garden Hotel, downtown Pittsburgh. We'll be catching up with them tomorrow morning. Our producer, Jay Harris, and I, we're going to hop in the car first thing in the morning and drive down there to get ready for the Bills-Steelers week. A couple of days of practice, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, then walk through Friday at Heinz Field, and then Saturday night, the game, the Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're excited about heading down there tomorrow. Just logistically wouldn't work if we would have left with the team today. They just arrived a little bit ago. We would have been scrambling and probably would... give ourselves a heart attack trying to get on the air. Let's face it, Jay. I mean, if we would have walked in that hotel at, 6
what
o'clock,
6:30.
We would have been in trouble.
It would have been tight.
Yeah, it would have been too tight. So here we are. Going to play catch-up tomorrow. But tonight on the show, you heard the lineup. Eric Wood's going to join us at 7:30. He's there already. They've got meetings. They've got a team meal. But Eric Wood will make time for us tonight to talk about this week of practice with the Steelers. We're going to ask him what it means to him to be the Buffalo Bills captain. I've never asked him that question before. He was elected a captain for the first time last year. We'll talk with Eric Wood about that coming up a little bit later on tonight. Also tonight, Jack Bechta, one of the really most well-spoken and articulate guests we have on a regular basis. He is an agent, a current player agent. He's got his own JBS Sports Agency. He is also a writer and columnist for National Football Post, and he's written a lot of interesting things lately about how agents look at preseason games and some of the things going on around the National Football League. Jack Bechta is going to join us tonight at 8 o'clock. 8:30 tonight, Scott Petoniak, our friend from Rochester. He is a longtime sports writer and columnist for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, and he's embarking on a brand new stage of his career tomorrow when he is co-host of a show, The Radio Press Box, on our station in Rochester, 950 AM ESPN and ESPN FM in Rochester. Scott Petoniak will join us. He's been out there at training camp a lot. We'll talk to him about his new show and about his take on the Bills. That's coming up at 8:30. Want to hear from you as well tonight. And just about the structure of preseason. It happens every year, and it'll happen again this year. Somebody around about a week or two from now will make the point that do we really need these preseason games? Do they really need 4, in the Bills' case, 5 preseason games? What are we getting out of this anyway? I mean, it's an annual complaint. It is. You know it's coming. We want to get your thoughts on this, on preseason. What would you do to fix it? What would you do to fix preseason? How many games do you need? Do you need 2 games? The current 4 games, standard preseason, 4 games? Some combination of the others. How about this? This thought occurred to me, especially as we head to Pittsburgh tomorrow and get ready to watch the Bills and Steelers practice. How about if each team was matched up with another team, Bills in Pittsburgh, Bills in Cleveland, for example, and they would schedule a week's worth of practices. This week, the Bills and Steelers have 2 sessions, maybe 3, maybe 3 or 4 at most, and work in a preseason game around that. If they do get in the kind of work they anticipate they'll get against the Steelers in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, really, as players said a couple of times, it amounts to a game. So maybe that's enough. So how about if you play 1 preseason game, then take a weekend off, and then go and practice against, say, the Steelers and get in 3 workouts with them and all the contact, all the collisions that would occur in 3 hard, padded practices, take a week off, weekend off, and then play one more preseason game. So a two-game preseason with a week's worth of practices. I have a feeling coaches might be on board with that. Because in these practices, in these scrimmages that they'll have Wednesday and Thursday, Bills and Steelers, and all these teams are doing it now, almost every team has got a practice partner over the last week or this, they're able to control what's going on. You know, a controlled, scripted practice. They can't do that in a preseason game. And I think it's probably, from a coach's standpoint, a much more efficient way of getting reps for the players they want to look at by having these practices than the hustle and bustle of a preseason game with TV timeouts. I mean, they can get done essentially in an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of practice, what it would take 3.5 hours to do in a preseason game. The coaches would look at it like that. I think they might go for that. Get it down to two preseason games. You could work on the game timing and the game logistics and how to use these new tablets and what are we doing about special teams and what are we doing with the field goal and the extra point try, et cetera. Use two games to do that. You know, even the mechanics, getting players on and off the field. Okay, I get it. Doing that in a game session. Two games should be enough of that. And then a week's worth of practices, joint practices with another team so that you're working against someone else. That'd be the ideal way to handle preseason. Fans might like it better. They wouldn't have to buy tickets to, two preseason games at home. Maybe just buy one preseason game, each year. Fans would like an opportunity probably to watch these joint practices. And if you want to make it a revenue stream, all right, go ahead and do it. But if they're talking about, cutting preseason, how about cutting it down to two games and working in a week's worth of joint practices with another team? What do you think? What are your solutions to this? Because you know it's coming. We're only two games into this Bills preseason. Steelers are only one game in, but we're about a week or two away from the annual complaints about the length of preseason. Why do we need this game? Somebody's going to get hurt. Maybe not on the Bills roster, but somebody's going to get hurt. There already have been some pretty serious injuries. And then you start to really think, what are we doing with these preseason games? Which is not to say you wouldn't get hurt in practice, but I just think it's a much more controlled atmosphere. And I think it would probably be more efficient for the coaching staff to have a practice as opposed to two other preseason games. Well, give us your thoughts. Let us know what you think. Bills preseason, NFL preseason. What's the right length? Four games. Two games. How about my solution? Two games and a week of joint practices with another team. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We'll start with John in Morella. John, your thoughts on the length of preseason. What do you think?
All right. It's definitely too long. Make the preseason two games. Add two games to the regular season. And if the players don't like it, then have them negotiate that they can only play 16 regular season games, and they have to designate two games that every player on the roster cannot suit up for.
Oh, boy. Really?
Including quarterbacks, everybody. And that way, if they say the season's too long, maybe extend the roster, an extra maybe 3-4 guys, and, may the best team win.
A couple of things. First of all, to sit out players, healthy players, for a regular season game, I think that would be a mistake. I mean, come on, really? I mean, would you really want to watch the Denver Broncos play and this is the week that Peyton Manning's not going to be in uniform?
That's the whole thing, that the players don't want to play 18 regular season games because of injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, well, that's a legitimate concern. And that's the other thing, John, that strikes me. I don't want an 18-game regular season. I think it's too much. I guess I'm on the player side that in that respect. I mean, many people think 18 games will pay them more. They'll be fine with it. I don't know. I think 18 games is a lot. The wear and tear on a player's body is a lot for a 16-game season. I think 18 games is above and beyond what's necessary. So I would just cut two preseason games out, have a week's worth of joint practices, and leave the regular season at 16 games. They found ways to expand the revenue. That's really what the 18-game regular season proposal is all about. I mean, they have the bye weeks so that it's a 17-week season. That's one way. This year, the introduction of weekly Thursday night football on CBS, at least the first half of the season, and by next year, there'll be weekly Thursday night games on CBS. All of this is going to expand the revenue pie for NFL owners. And they're doing it without adding two regular season games. I think two regular season games is too much wear and tear on players' bodies. You could pay them more if you had to, but I don't even think that's a financial issue. I just think it's too much wear and tear. Your thoughts on preseason, the length of preseason. What's the right number? Four games, two games, no preseason games. And what about factoring in these joint practices like the Bills and Steelers are going to have this week? Phone line's open, 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to David in Buffalo. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi, John. You're all wrong, with all due respect. I mean, the four games, I mean, Manuel, he needs six games of preseason. From my opinion, he hasn't proven anything at all. He needs more reps, more real-time game situations. And this controlled environments that you're talking about are exactly that, control. They're not game time. You got to remember, this is the survival of the fittest. And this is exactly what this league doesn't take any prisoners. And to sit there and say a controlled environment, John, you're a football guy. You're saying that.
By controlled environment, I mean they call the plays, the defense calls its plays. They know exactly, working off a script, how it's going to go. I think I'm trying to reduce mayhem here, too. I'm trying to keep players healthy. I think that's a legitimate concern.
I understand that. I understand that completely. But in the real season, well, let's say we cut it down to two games like you say it does, okay? And then we sit there and say, oh, my God, look how horrible this thing is because of the scripted situations you're talking about. The fact of the matter is, I mean, there is no script. They're trying to disguise as much information you could possibly disguise on a per-game basis. So in my mind, and I'm a football fan going back to, I mean, I was born in 60, but are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hang on. Let me just add, I think I need to clarify. By scripted situations, what I mean is there's a portion of practice this week where the Bills and Steelers are going to say, we're going to work on red zone offense now, or we're going to work on goal line offense. You call your plays. You don't tell us what your play is. You call your plays for red zone. You call your plays for goal line. We're going to work on two-minute drill now. That's what I mean by a controlled situation. I'm not saying they're calling plays and tipping them off, but they control the situation so they get enough reps in the different situations so that E.J. Manuel gets a look at goal line. He gets a look at two-minute drill, four-minute offense. He gets a look at red zone. That's what I mean by control, so that they can control the number of snaps that the Pittsburgh defense and the Buffalo offense will play against each other in each of these situations. That's what I mean by that, David. Does that make it more sense to you?
You know, Tom, in these situations, obviously, we're not going to agree on this.
Okay.
And I know you're trying to reduce the degree of injuries to the players, as everybody else is leading, obviously. But that's...
All right, we're losing you, David.
It is what it is. And, like I said to you, I as flawed as it is, I think, to be quite honest with you, can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is a situation that's been tried for God knows how many years, going on, what, 75 years?
Yeah.
And I hate to say it's going to be hard to fix the darn thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they had six preseason games when I was growing up. That was way too many, and there was much less interest, much less coverage. And, I think people, the games were put in even better perspective back when there were six preseason games. You're right. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but how about throwing a little bit of the bathwater out? How about two games with controlled practices between two teams so that the risk of injury is lessened and that the people aren't stuck watching, attending, paying for games they're not really interested in. Greg on his cell phone. Greg, hello. You're on the air. You have some thought on preseason, Greg.
Yeah. It's good to hear you tonight. That's a good question. I certainly do remember when there used to be six preseason games and 14 regular season games. And it was just awful, I thought. But, the four games, to me, when you look at what they do with each of the four games, isn't too bad. I don't know how you're going to replace the revenue stream of people. You say, well, fans don't have to buy tickets, but I think that's the whole idea of those preseason games, is the NFL wants tickets sold for that. So I don't know how we're going to get around that. The other thing too is, this five game, because we played in the Hall of Fame, I don't understand why they don't take that away from one of your regular games and then say, okay, the Bills and Giants are going to play the Hall of Fame game the first week, but then they won't have week number two of the preseason. Each team will have a bye, because I think five games is definitely too many. Four is borderline too many, but I think when you look at how they operate, the starters come in for a couple snaps the first game, a couple more the second, and of course the fourth preseason game is just for the backups pretty much. So I think each game has a purpose. I do see what you're talking about, the controlled situations. That certainly, from a coaching standpoint, has to be a tremendous bonus where you can say, look, because in a regular game, you don't work on goal line defense more than a couple times in a game.
Well, you might not get a chance.
You might not get a chance at running
2-minute drill. You might not get a chance at a 4-minute offense. In a regular game.
That's very intriguing, and I love the idea that they're going down to Pittsburgh and they're running that for a week. I don't know if that could replace a preseason game. Maybe it should. Maybe they should have a preseason game by the next week, and everybody hooks up in scrimmages, and then you get back to preseason game number 3 and 4, or actually it'd be 2 and 3 at that point, and then cut it down to 3. But I think the revenue stream is the biggest thing. I mean, they sell tickets.
Yep.
How many season tickets do the Bills have right now?
46,000 is the number today.
So that's 46,000 times 2 for the preseason games because you got to buy preseason tickets.
Mm-hmm.
How's the NFL going to give that up?
Well, they'll charge more for tickets. I mean, you know how they'll do it. They're pretty good at figuring that stuff out. Thanks, Greg. Here's Tom on his cell phone. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. I agree. 4 is just way too many. And I think 2, the challenge there is that the teams really need that first game to sort of get the cobwebs off. And the third game is really that dress rehearsal, and you can't have that a week before the season starts. So I think if they go down to 3 games, have the first game be sort of, let's get the cobwebs out, let's get these guys out there. Second game is dress rehearsal. Third is, let's rest the starters, the important players, let guys on the bubble get a chance to show what they can do. I think that's kind of the happy medium. And in kind of in the spirit of, I'd say, player safety, another thing that I think they might want to consider is consolidating the bye week to half the teams off in week 8 and half the teams off in week 9. Be something that, the players might find pretty appealing since there's, teams have their bye week really early in the season, which kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think as it relates to the preseason, I think kind of a happy medium.
Yeah, I got you,
sure,
Tom. As far as the consolidation of the bye weeks, we're losing your phone there a little bit. I mean, a lot of this is related to TV. They need enough games on Fox. They need enough games on CBS. They need a Thursday night game on CBS and NFL Network this year, and they need NBC Sunday Night Football. So if 16 teams are not playing, they're going to have trouble fulfilling those needs. And believe it, I mean, it's all about providing content for television. I don't know if that would work that way. Blake in Buffalo. Hi, Blake. Your thoughts on preseason, Blake?
Hey, John, thanks for the call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call in. I think it would actually be really interesting if we did away with the preseason. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Marv Levy would never play his starters in the preseason. Is that correct?
No, they play a little bit. They would play a little bit.
Okay.
And he'd get them out pretty quickly.
Bit.
I mean, Kelso tells the story of Marv would tell his defensive players, if you get a 3-and-out stop in like the last preseason game, that'll be it. We'll get you off the field right away. And that was pretty good motivation for those guys.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess the point that I would love to see, and just as an experiment, is instead of the preseason, how about we do this? How about we start the week 2 weeks early, we add another 2 regular season games to the schedule for everybody. And so that way, I think that, now all of a sudden we don't have to worry about the pointlessness of the preseason. And on top of that, it gives everyone 2 more games, and it'll extend the season overall. And we'll be able to start a couple weeks earlier. And I think it'll make everybody a little bit more happy.
Yeah.
I think it would just be really interesting if we tried to extend the season and cut away from the preseason.
Well, I'm in favor of cutting down preseason. I just think the wear and tear on players' bodies would be way too much with an 18-game regular season. Ray is on the line with an idea about preseason. Ray, what do you have?
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I agree with you on sort of the more balanced approach to the preseason. And while I think it's a bit long, I just wonder, people I think confuse, they don't view live, 11-on-11, co-team practices like the Bills are doing as actual games. But, I mean, I think they run everything like they would a game. I mean, the only difference is not televised and doesn't have, TV timeouts. I mean, I think it's more so like I was thinking about this. I mean, I would think that the solution would be the minimum amount of time that it would take coaches to decide which are the best players that they have available for their team. So no preseason means that, you know, people like, you know, Cleveland would have difficulty trying to pick a starting quarterback right now if they didn't have any preseason games.
Well, but except and, you got OTAs, you got mini camps all leading up to summer training camp. You know, you basically have about 4 to 5 weeks of time with your players starting back in May, or in the case of the veterans, in April. So I think you get a pretty good idea of what you have. It's not like you're meeting these guys for the first time when you go to training camp.
Well, I was wondering, you know, do you think that the preseason games sort of hold weight just because there is something on the line, I guess, if it's in front of fans and things like that? I mean, I'm in agreement, you know, with the, it's more so like, I wonder the psyche, you know, of players. Because I've seen, you know, players, or I've heard of players doing fantastic in training camp. And then all of a sudden when it shows up to, you know, just a preseason game, they can't even, you know, they barely play, you know, because, they can't even produce.
Yeah, I mean, they have a chance in these preseason games to show that, you know, that they can answer the bell in a game, that, and maybe that some players are better during a game than they would be in practice. But I also think these scrimmages, joint practices, like the Bills and Steelers are going to do this week, I think they serve the same purpose. That's why I would kind of use them. If everybody's going to do them, I would use these joint practices as a way to eliminate some of the meaninglessness of preseason. Brad in Pennsylvania. Hi, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I understand the argument for preseason games, but I'm totally against it. I think the NFL should cut it out altogether and just go to the college format. The colleges don't have preseason. They do have scrimmages, and that's controlled, of course, just as you were talking about. I'm for that. I look at the colleges, and, of course, their rosters are larger than the NFL. So they don't have preseason games, but yet they still have enough time to evaluate the talent on the team. And I feel, looking at the preseason games now, that they're actually a waste. It's not like any of the teams are game planning or are practicing what they're going to put into any games in the regular season, because they don't want to tip anyone off. So to me, it's a waste. I really think they should do away with it, period. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Thanks, Brad. The difference between colleges, I think, that jumps out at me, big-time colleges anyway, is that they use their first regular game as a tune-up game. You know, the big conferences will find somebody to beat up on in week one, typically. There are a few made-for-television games, obviously, to, you know, increase the TV ratings. But colleges have the luxury, for the most part, of scheduling an easily winnable game against an inferior conference team, and that serves as their preseason, their tune-up game. Let's take one more call on this. We'll go to Mike in Amherst. Hello, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. You know, when I look at this, I think the major thing is that if you don't have the preseason games, each club loses two full games in revenue for ticket sales, concession sales, and all those. And then the NFL loses the revenue and not having something to broadcast, which ultimately flows to the team. What if they almost made a hard knocks out of every training camp, and to give the network's content, you essentially broadcast the training camp on the day that they're going to do the 11-on-11, because everybody's fans are interested to see how the rookies look and see what guys are on, might make the team. If you actually, instead of broadcasting a preseason game, you broadcast one night where they're going to do the 11-on-11, you still give the NFL their content for TV, and people are interested in tuning in to get a fresh look at the rookies and a couple other storylines going on.
I like that idea a lot. I really do, Mike. I like that idea an awful lot. Any kind of behind-the-scenes access, you know, reality TV-type access, I think people would eat with a spoon. I think people would love it. And to have a scrimmage at the end of that, I think it'd be great, too. I think that's a valid solution. It would be extremely popular on television. It would probably make a ton of money on television. I think that's a great idea. I'd be all for that. Having a, you know, a Hard Knocks type, all access type television show based on training camp. They can do it for 32 teams easily. Produce it up and have it end in a scrimmage, either intra-squad or against another team. I'd be all for that. I think that'd be great. All right, good ideas, many of them. Thanks for calling in. We're going to take a break and talk with Eric Wood. We'll ask him this question, too. What's the ideal preseason? What does he think about these upcoming joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up? Hey, before we go, we had a great buffet dinner tonight provided by the folks at Nickel City Foods. They did it again, and they sent along their August sandwich of the month, the hot and spicy buffalo chicken sandwich, spicy chicken breast, hot pepper cheese, lettuce, on a buffalo roll from Costanzo's. Unbelievable. Nickel City Foods, catering service from the folks at NOCO. They offer office catering. They can bring in lunches for meetings, etc. Offer party catering, big parties, small parties, lots of healthy options, and experienced staff to make your party a success. A number of unique items as well. You want to check it out. Nickel City Foods. You can go to nickelcityfoods.com to look at their menu and see how what they offer might fit what you're thinking about doing. Or you can call them at 681-0837. nickelcityfoods.com. A great pregame buffet for us here at the John Murphy Show. We'll take a break, and Eric Wood, when we return, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Show coming from Orchard Park tonight. Tomorrow night, we will be in Pittsburgh, in downtown Pittsburgh, at the Wyndham Garden Hotel, doing radio down there for a couple of nights as the Bills get set to play or practice with the Steelers and then play them on Saturday. The team is already there, and joining us on the line right now is Buffalo Bills center Eric Wood. Eric, you made it safely and soundly and fought your way through the rush hour traffic in Pittsburgh. That's never fun, is it?
Yeah, we just made it in.
Hey, thanks for coming on the air with us tonight. I know you guys got a tight schedule tonight. Hey, this is your sixth year with the Bills, your sixth training camp, Eric. This camp to me seems different than a lot that I've been around just because there's so much moving around. It almost, I said to somebody, feels like the Bills are the Harlem Globetrotters or something right now.
Yeah, we've been traveling a lot lately, and you know, we'll have an extended stay down here in Pittsburgh, and this will be my first joint practice since I've been in the NFL, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be pretty interesting.
You know, we were talking on the radio show earlier tonight about this structure of a joint practice and a lot of discussion over the years about preseason, how much is too much. It seems to me if you're going to practice with a team for a couple of days or maybe, you know, three practice sessions, then maybe you really only need a couple of other preseason games because you're going to get a lot of contact and a lot of work in these next few days against the Steelers, aren't you?
Yeah. And it'll be good work down here, and I don't know what the, necessarily the right amount for preseason games is. I know as a rookie, I like getting a few under my belt before I turned it up for the real thing. When we played Monday Night Football in 09 against New England, I was glad I had a few preseason games before that. And we had five that year, actually. So, you know, they're good, and as long as nobody gets hurt, they're great. But you know, you always worry about somebody possibly getting hurt, and that could affect you down the road. But the more opportunities we get to go against other defenses, I know that's going to make us better on offense.
What do you think the teamwork, the 11-on-11 sessions, will be like against the Steelers in terms of, you know, tempo and intensity?
I'd imagine they'll be pretty intense. You know, there's a lot of guys out there. You know, we have a lot we're fighting for as an offense, as a team. But there's also a lot of guys fighting to make this team. And I'm sure those guys are really looking forward to the opportunity to go out and prove themselves tomorrow and Thursday out in the practice field as well as Saturday in the game. And I'd imagine it'll be pretty intense.
Even in the drills that you do when you're at training camp, for the most part, you are lining up across from the same couple of defensive tackles. This will be different for you in the, you know, O-line, D-line drills to get a look at somebody else, somebody else's move, somebody else's technique. I would think that there'd be some benefit to that.
Yeah, definitely some benefit to that. You know, just get used to different techniques, you know, different playing styles. But, you know, a lot of times when we go into a game, we, you know, when we face a different defense, we prep for them pretty hard. And we haven't done a ton of film work on Pittsburgh. I've faced a few of their guys before, but they got some new faces that, you know, you're kind of going in blank is a little different. But You know, after a few days, we'll definitely become comfortable with them.
I wonder, Eric, the fact that they are, maybe one of the most traditional 3-4 defenses still in the NFL, and it's a different look than you'll probably see for most of the season. Does that change a little bit of how you guys get ready or what you'll have to look at this week?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our schemes, a lot of our blocking schemes are different based upon their defense, especially from the defense we've played pretty much exclusively four down fronts through training camp and through two preseason games. So it'll be different. It'll be tough for some of the younger guys. You know, they've got a whole new set of responsibilities they need to learn, but it'll be good for us. And facing a defense like the Steelers will be tough work for us offensively, but, if we know if we can go out and execute well against them, then that'll bode well for us down the road.
We're on the line with Eric Wood, Bills center, Bills captain. He's in Pittsburgh where the Bills are setting up shop, starting to practice jointly with the Steelers starting tomorrow afternoon. I know you talked to some media guys in Rochester earlier today, Eric, and you said something which I found pretty interesting about progress on offense. And it makes sense, with what you guys are trying to do offensively, that it's not going to be an overnight process. You mentioned how it's a process, really, what you're trying to do offensively. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. What I had said earlier was kind of just along the lines of, I don't know exactly what we were ranked offensively last year, but it wasn't very good. And if we want to become a top five, top three, possibly even the top offense in the league, we have a lot of work to do, and that's not going to happen overnight. And I think continually building each day and doing the little things will benefit us down the road. And we've had ups and downs offensively, and that's kind of what we're trying to eliminate. Have more. We need to have more ups than downs and play a lot more consistent football. And I think we're getting there. We see it on film, and sometimes the results aren't clear without breaking down the film and maybe necessarily knowing everybody's responsibility on every play. But the progress is getting there.
I think the progress was evident in the Carolina game, don't you? You guys moved the ball pretty well. You ran the ball pretty well. I'm sure you'd like to be a little more productive down near the goal line. But overall, I thought the offense had a decent day against Carolina last Friday.
Yeah, we executed pretty well. Put up some decent yards. I've played three series, and we had 26 plays in three series. That's a good amount of time controlling the football. But when you only have 3 points to show for it, that's not a successful day. So. In a real game, we may have kicked a field goal, but Coach Maroon challenged us down the 1 yard line, and we failed, and that's on us as an offense, and especially us up front. So we got to get better. And luckily, that was only the preseason, but there was stuff to build on from that game for sure.
As you know, Eric, a lot of eyes focused on EJ Manuel in this training camp, and you're just over 3 weeks into camp. Do you see progress from EJ with all the reps he's had over these first 3 weeks of work?
I do. I think EJ's playing good football, and he's night and day mentally from last year, and dealing with him's been a pleasure. You know, he's got a great head on his shoulders. He put a lot of work in this off season, and it's starting to show. And kind of like all of us, we're still trying to fine tune our craft here in this preseason, and he's trying to do the same. And learning timing with two top targets of his, with Mike Williams and Sammy Watkins. You know, he's got a lot on his plate, but he's doing a great job, and really looking forward to how he performs this year.
As a line, you're trying to fine-tune some different combinations. I mean, so far you've had a rookie left tackle in Chantrell Henderson. I know Cyril Richardson's get a lot of reps at one of the guard spots. Tell me how that's gone, working the new guys in and with all the work that they've had these first couple of games.
Yeah, we brought in some talented young guys. We brought in a good veteran, Chris Williams, and we're trying to find the right combination of guys, and we know Cordy will be in that group when Cordy Glenn comes back, whenever that may be. So we know he's in the mix, but I think Centrell Henderson's done a great job when he's been given the opportunity to go with the ones, and he's shown me tremendous talent and work ethic, which has been pleasant. And Cyril has done a great job, Cyril Richardson, Cyrus Kwanja is coming along, and Mackie McPherson backing up at center. We've got a lot of young guys competing, and that competitiveness is good for everybody in the O-line room.
Tell me about the rushing identity of this team, Eric. It's pretty evident through the first two preseason games that, you know, you guys ran the ball more than anybody else in the league last year. It seems like that's the way they want to go this year. How do you feel about that, and do you guys welcome that challenge?
Yeah, Coach Hackett always talks about wanting to stay balanced, and as an offensive line, you like that because you don't get the defensive guessing as much, and a lot of teams are getting really pass-happy, and a lot of offensive linemen get teed off when that happens. So we appreciate how balanced we are offensively, and with the stable of running backs we have behind us, if we can open up holes, they generally make us look pretty good. So, you know, we look for big things from the run game again this year. We want to get our yards per carry up from last year, but, you know, second in the league last year was something we could hang our hat on a little bit.
Yeah, and the stable of running backs got even bigger. And when you see Bryce Brown and Booby Dixon running the way they did last Friday night, the possibilities are limitless back there in the offensive backfield right now, I would think.
Yeah, those two new guys are doing a tremendous job for us. You know, a lot different styles, and that's great because Booby Dixon brings that physical nature we need. And Bryce has got that little extra juice that not many guys has. He's got a ton of speed, a lot of explosiveness. So two great additions to our football team.
We're on the line with Eric Wood, Bills center. He is in Pittsburgh where the Bills are setting up shop, getting ready for a couple of practices with the Steelers and the game on Saturday night against Pittsburgh. Eric, you were a captain for this team last year. What does it mean to you to be a captain on this roster?
It was an honor to be voted captain last year. Anytime you can be voted on for anything amongst your peers, it means a lot. And you know, this is a franchise I have a lot of adoration for, and I want to get to the playoffs as bad as anybody, and you know, to hopefully lead us to that and be one of the captains, one of the leaders, means a lot to me, and not something I take lightly. You know, I work each day to try and become a better leader, better player, and set an example when I need to, and say something when I need to.
And typically you wait until what, the last week or two of camp before you vote on captains again? Is that how it'll probably work?
Yeah, I think that's how we did it last year, maybe 1 week before the season we voted.
I saw you got some offensive line teammates together for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge today before you left Rochester. Have you dried out from that yet?
Yeah, we dried out. It was colder than I expected. You know, I ice tub after every practice, and you know, but that's generally just your lower half of your body. When you throw it on your head like that, it's a pretty shocking feeling.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, one more thing before you go. I know that you are hosting a special benefit for Carly's Club here in Western New York. It's Monday, September 22nd, the day after the Bills play the San Diego Chargers. Going to be at Templeton Landing. It's Jocktails with the Bills, hosted by Bills captain Eric Wood. You and some of your teammates going to be there, I guess, being celebrity bartenders for a fundraiser for Carly's Club, right?
Yeah, it's an event I did last year and trying to expand it to a little bit bigger venue this year. So it'll be at Templeton Landing. You can buy tickets through it, through my Twitter account. I've tweeted a link out that Bills fans or anybody in the Buffalo area can attend, and it'll be a fun night. We'll have a lot of the players bartending, and they had a great time doing that last year. And all the tips go to charity. A buddy of mine's coming up from Nashville. He'll sing some country music, and I may try and get a Buffalo group as well for some live music. But we'll have a silent auction, and just really trying to raise as much money as possible for a great foundation, great charity in Louisville, in Carly's Club.
Great. And that is Jocktails with the Bills, Monday, September 22nd, Templeton Landing. And as Eric said, you can get the ticket information at his Twitter account, at ewood70. Eric, thanks for this. I know you've got a tight schedule down there in Pittsburgh tonight. We thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, John.
Okay. Eric Wood, Bills captain, Bills center, on the line with us from Pittsburgh. The Bills have checked into their headquarters hotel in Pittsburgh. They'll be there until Saturday night when they play the Steelers. We'll be there tomorrow night doing our show live from the Wyndham Garden Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night this week. A lot more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Always good to hear from Eric Wood. We thank him for joining us tonight. He is down there in Pittsburgh. We'll be there tomorrow doing the show for the next three nights. Here's a quick call from Brendan in L.A. Hello, Brendan. What's up tonight?
Hey, John. I had a question for you. I was wondering what your thoughts were on this, because last year Hackett was stressed to speed up the plays, the whole tempo of the offense.
Yes.
And I was watching the Eagles preseason game the other night, and the plays were really fast. And I don't think we're anywhere near that right now. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were. I mean, has he thrown that out the window, or are we still trying to work towards that, or what? You know, what's going on as far as that?
Yeah, I think that's still part of the plan, Brendan. In fact, I know it is. Hackett has said it repeatedly that that's what they want to do, run an up-tempo, fast-paced offense. You may not see much of it in preseason. But I think they're working without the huddle. I know at training camp practices, they work without huddle most of the time. I believe they were among the top three in the league in the number of plays run last year, which says a lot about the pace at which they were running plays. So I do think that's going to continue this year. I really do. I think they definitely want to be an up-tempo, fast-paced offense again this coming year. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour. When we return, we're going to talk with Jack Bechta, longtime player agent, almost three decades in the player agency business, and also a pretty astute commentator on league issues. Also coming up next hour, we'll talk with Scott Pitoniak, Rochester sports writer, getting ready to launch a new radio show tomorrow in Rochester. It's all coming up next hour, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two here until 9 o'clock tonight. We are in Orchard Park. We're at One Bills Drive at our normal studio. And coming up tomorrow night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll be live from downtown Pittsburgh from the hotel headquarters of the Buffalo Bills. They're going to practice with the Steelers in Latrobe, Pennsylvania for a couple of days. They're going to play the Steelers at Heinz Field on Saturday night. And we'll be broadcasting from the Wyndham Garden Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh starting tomorrow night. We are deep into preseason. Many people don't like preseason. We spent a lot of the time in the first hour discussing ways to alter, maybe improve preseason. One guy who puts a lot of thought into these issues is a longtime NFL player agent, almost 30 years as a player agent in the National Football League. He is also a writer. He writes the Agents Journal for National Football Post. He is live on the line with us right now, a good friend of the show, Jack Bechta. Jack, thank you very much for being on the air with us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Big John. How are you, buddy?
We're doing great. Hey, we were thinking about what would make preseason better, and I want to bounce this off you. My idea, I guess. The Bills are down there. They're going to have joint practices with the Steelers for a couple of days, and most people agree the preseason is too long. Why not shorten things up, two preseason games, and mandate that every team get together with another team, match them up for a week's worth of practices? Wouldn't that get everybody ready to play a regular season and maybe minimize the injuries and be better for the fans, by the way?
Hallelujah. I think if you put that in front of the agents and players, we'd all vote yes. I mean, let's face it, one of the biggest atrocities of preseason is, fans paying full price for preseason games, right? It's the 800-pound, and it's not the grill in the room. It's very obvious that, it's a disservice to the fans. The players only get paid about $1,200 a game, all right?
Yeah.
So it's a disservice to them as well. Going into the first games, teams don't even game plan for each other. They don't even watch film for each other, the majority of teams. It's just, okay, let's just get through this first game. Let's get through the first series. Let's just kind of get some rust off. That's all you're getting, and we're paying full price for that as a fan. No, it's not fair. Everybody's losing across the board. So, I think some of those ideas are relevant, and I think, a lot like how baseball does spring training, just to kind of segue off of the idea you guys discussed there, to have joint practices and make it a destination type of thing in a stadium where fans are willing to pay 20 or 25 bucks a day to go watch it, I think it would be a great experience. And the NFL can make a little, turnstile revenue over a few days versus trying to get it one night, and then maybe there's a hard knocks concept to it where it's televised for 3 or 4 days yeah. for practice, and they can create revenue from TV. So there's always a way to get things done where we protect the safety of the players at the same time.
Yeah, it's great that you mentioned the hard knocks concept. One of our callers mentioned that. And I also wonder, Jack, if coaches might prefer controlled practices where they can ensure that they're going to get, you know, 15 snaps of red zone and 15 snaps of two-minute drill and 10 snaps of goal line, as opposed to hoping that they get that kind of work during a preseason game.
Yeah, absolutely, because let's face it, a lot of times the third quarterback never gets the work that he needs. You know, we don't need – there's so many third quarterbacks in this league that we have never seen go with the ones or twos. We don't know what they can do. And yeah. usually by their second, third, or fourth year, they're out of the league without us really knowing what they can do. Because, you know, some guys that get drafted high or have the big names or Heisman winners, et cetera, they get all the reps, and, you know, they still fizzle out of the league in 3-4 years. So there's a lot of undiscovered talent at different positions, whether it's, you know, corner or linebacker, that, again, never get the reps to develop. And control practices would give coaches the ability to develop younger players and protect the veterans.
Jack, when a lot of people, when they talk about decreasing the number of preseason games, equate it with adding a couple of regular season games, the 18-game schedule that even the commissioner floated out there not so long ago. I would imagine players and agents are totally opposed to an 18-game regular season.
Yeah, you know, I used to be, you know, all for it, because I used to ask my clients, like, hey, if you got an extra 1/18th more of your paycheck in addition to what your salary is, would you do it? And a lot of them said yes, you know, but I think as they get older and their bodies start wearing down, they rethink that answer. I think the big solution to that is to have 2 or 3 bye weeks. I mean, if we up, instead of going from 1 bye week, we have 2 bye weeks, and players get an extra weekend of practice, and maybe it's coming off of or it's ahead of anybody who's playing on Thursdays, right?
Yeah.
And eventually anybody who's going to London, because I think it's inevitable we're going to have a team there at some point. Hopefully it's not the Bills. And I think that, you know, having that extra bye week will create a lot of flexibility into, you know, elongating the season. That's really all the league wants, is to elongate it, and they can do that. They'll still have the, you know, same amount of, they'll even have one more week, but not having more games and putting the players at risk. And we all want healthy players. We want our best players to be healthy. So I think that would be a solution, and shorten up the preseason, the 2 games. And make them a little more relevant, too, those 2 games.
Live on the line with Jack Becht, a longtime player agent. He is a columnist for a National Football Post. In fact, just a week ago, you wrote about reasons to watch preseason games, Jack. And one thing that caught my eye, you said, you know, a lot of us try to read the tea leaves and see who's playing with whom. You think that's a bad idea when fans watch their favorite team in preseason? Don't pay attention to who they're playing with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I said, like a lot of the first few games, they don't even game plan each other. You know, I saw the Texans and the Cardinals last weekend, and I got to tell you, you know, the Cardinals in the first quarter looked like a Super Bowl-bound team. But, you know, we don't – you know, Houston has a fairly new coach. They have some new players. They got, you know, your ex-quarterback. And they're just trying to coagulate the team. So it's hard to say, you know, to – it's hard to judge the Cardinals against the Texans right now. I mean, if you look at the game, you'd think the Texans might not win 2 games. But, come on, it's the first preseason game. Let's not read, you know, too much into it. I'm seeing online where rookies are getting judged and getting grades by, you know, us, you know, columnists and yeah. journalists. And, you know, there's just so much coverage out there. It's overkill. And, you know, we got to be patient. We got to let things come together. And but I think it's fun to watch the special teams, you know, watch these guys, you know, literally putting their lives on the line to try to make a team. I saw some amazing special team play, especially on the coverage side. And you got to watch that. And you got to watch, you know, what's going on in the sidelines, who's communicating to who. And it's fun to check out the young talent that, you know, will eventually be sleepers and guys we don't know about till a year or two from now.
In fact, when you wrote about reasons to watch preseason, I love the way you put it about special teams. You call it a war of mercenaries fighting for their football lives. You can see that when you watch special teams during these preseason games.
Oh, yeah. They're not trying to protect anything. It's all out on every single play. That's the bottom of the roster. And That's the bottom of the 90 roster fighting for jobs, you know. So, I mean, that alone is, if we can follow the details of who those characters are, you know, maybe that's what you can do with your fans there, you know, start highlighting some of these guys and who's trying to make the team. Hard Knocks does a really good job in doing that. But, you know, we remember those. The Bills have a history for having some of the greatest special teams ever and some of the greatest players ever that, you know, that used to get them to the playoffs back in the heyday. So if anybody would appreciate it, I think it would be your fan base.
Hey, Jack, what did you tell or what do you tell your clients about risking life and limb during preseason? And does it differentiate between what you tell your rookies and fringe players and maybe the veterans who've already got a spot on the roster?
Yeah, you have to be direct as an agent. And you know, I have players that are, you know, built, you know, like Chevy trucks, and they carry their bodies. And I gotta put a governor on those guys and go, hey, take a day off, please. Don't play special teams and don't play your position. You know, tell the special teams coach to take you off and kick off. I know you like doing it, but come on, we want to get to a second contract. You're not going to help the team being in the training room. So you might try to, you know, those guys who don't know how to say no or their own worst enemies. You know, I have a linebacker that played at Indy, Pat Anger, who just, you know, is 6 foot, 230 pounds, but he will run through a wall. And there's 1 year for the Colts. He was their starting middle linebacker to lead in the league in tackles and playing punt and playing kickoff, to where I had to call the GM and go, look, you're going to kill this poor kid if you don't take him off some of these special teams. And they took him off that next week. So that's where the agent will come in. And then on the flip side of that, it's like you got to be straight up with a guy and go, hey, look, the only way you're going to make this active roster, the only way you're going to do it is by special teams. And you have to make plays. You can't make plays in practice. You got to make plays. You got to do whatever it takes. If you want to play in the league, you want to buy some time until you get a shot at your position, you better go make some plays and do whatever it takes to do it.
Are most general managers receptive to that sort of a call if the agent calls up and asks him to take them off special teams?
No.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so.
No. No, they're not. But I think there's, you know, I've been an agent for 27 years. I grew up with the GMs in this league. I'm actually starting to get older than some of them. And, you know, you have these types of relationships where you can have these calls. And you just got to be careful who you're calling, that it doesn't get perceived that it came from the player. Like, a lot of times your player will get mad at you if you do it, but it's for his own good. And it just kind of could be an oversight that, and by the way, coaches and front office people sometimes see players differently, mm-hmm. and they see things differently. So a lot of the times the front office people, the GMs, the personnel directors, they have a little bit more sober approach to the long-term picture as coaches, hey, win now, get me through this week, you know. So they can be a mouthpiece for us without, you know, rocking the boat.
We're on the line with Jack Bechta. He is a longtime player agent. He also writes a column for National Football Post, the agent's column. You wrote something about 6 weeks ago, Jack, that caught my eye, mostly because we launched this show 2 years ago and people said, how are you going to do an NFL Bill show 12 months a year? It has not been a problem. And, in fact, you kind of documented, I thought, about 6 weeks ago, the ways in which the NFL became a 12-month sport. Can you talk about some of the reasons why, you know, the NFL is covered and thought about 12 months a year these days?
Yeah, and there's different components to it. One, of course, is fantasy football. So now you just don't care about your team. You care about all these other players that are in the league. You got to know who the rookies are coming out. You got to watch them through the, you know, the combine, and they're drafted. Are they going to play? Whose job are they taking? And a lot of that happens in the offseason, the same with free agency. So, you know, we have these, I think it's over 35 to 40 million, maybe 50 million fantasy football players who have to keep a vigil year-round on not only their own players, but potential players that can help them win their, you know, $100 in their fantasy league. But so, again, that's one component. Then you have the advent of the NFL Network. They have to sell us content 12 months out of the year. So what does the NFL do for their baby? They start pushing things back. They push the draft back. They push free agency back. You know, they turned an eight-month cycle into 9.5, you know, then push it to 10. camps used to start. Remember, camps used to start August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Now they're starting July 22nd. We're getting a lot more coverage of OTAs around the horn, around the league. So the NFL Network, fantasy, and let's face it, you know, NFL football is our number one sport. So what do? We follow what all the players are doing in the off season now. All the news outlets, you know, there's dedicated sites like the one I write for that have to find content 12 months a year to pay the bills. So if they don't have it, they'll create it. And so you have a lot of content creation by, you know, TV, radio, journalists 12 months out of the year if they want to keep their jobs.
Which takes me, and one last question here, Jack, to the Mark Cuban statement back in late May when the NFL was talking about the expansion of Thursday Night Football on a network platform, and Mark Cuban said the NFL was 10, he said, about 10 years away from an implosion. He said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Do agents worry about that? Is there much discussion about that in the world of agents?
I don't think so, but I at first when I heard that statement, I was kind of, I thought up. Yeah, somebody's a little jealous right now.
Yeah.
She bought an NFL franchise. But I think I know what he means. Like, it is a 12-month sport. It is but that's because the consumer is commanding it and demanding it as well. I mean, we're not stuffing it down their throats. I mean, they want to eat at the table, right? And, you know, the passionate fan wants to know as much as he can about his team, especially if his baseball team isn't doing well or basketball team stinks or there's no other sports in the marketplace. Yeah, we want to follow it year-round, right? So, but I think what Cube is saying is that, you know, the NFL better be careful if they take a mystique and a mystery out of it. Maybe it will change. Maybe there'll be a tipping point that will go the other way. I think baseball did that in some way, shape, or form at some point. You know, I know we were getting a lot of the NBA at one time, and they had meteoric rises that kind of fizzled out eventually. So can it happen in the NFL? Yeah. I think something catastrophic would have to happen. I think in baseball we had, you know, the rampant use of drugs that was enhancing pitching and hitting and home run performance, which, hey, was a fun 10-year run, but we didn't know who was cheating and who was not. But we still consumed it. So, it would have to be something really catastrophic. But I see that the NFL does a great job in doing what they're doing. But, again, there's only 16 games, right?
Yep.
If there were 32, it would be a different deal, you know. But if there's only 16, and maybe there's 17, who knows? So that being said, we really covet what we get to see because we don't get to see enough of it.
Jack, we thank you for coming on the show with us tonight. We enjoy your column on National Football Post. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, read me tomorrow. I'd talk about maybe moving the Thursday night game to Friday, Super Bowl to Saturday, and a few other fun things.
Is that in the works, or is that speculation on your part?
I think that's speculation on my part. But it's something the fans want to talk about. They want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
They want to know. They, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like Thursday night football. It's a night they spend with their kids, or they're getting home from work. It's too late on the East Coast, too early on the West Coast. And why not Friday night? Yeah, there's high school football, but not everybody has a kid in high school.
Yeah, and I've heard for years the talk about a Saturday night Super Bowl. I think that'd be a big hit with most fans.
Absolutely. Either that or we move President's Day.
Yeah.
So right after the Super Bowl.
You're right. Jack, thanks. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Okay, Jack Bechta. He is a NFL agent, and he's got his own website, NFLAdvisor.com. He is also a columnist covering the business of football for the National Football Post. And as he said, read tomorrow his thoughts on Thursday night football, perhaps moving to Fridays, and on moving the Super Bowl to Saturday. I'd be in favor for at least the Super Bowl move. I'd have to think a little bit about Thursday night becoming Friday night football. Our thanks to Jack Bechta. You can follow him on Twitter at Jack Bechta. Some good ideas there. About preseason, that's what we've talked about a lot tonight with the Bills on their way to Pittsburgh for their third preseason game. They play the Steelers there on Saturday night. They're going to practice with the Steelers tomorrow and Thursday. A call here from Corey in Cranberry Lake. Hello, Corey. How are you?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
I was wondering which game you think has the best chance to be flexed to the Sunday night football game.
Oh, which game? I mean, I'm looking at the schedule here. I mean, you'd think, divisional game perhaps, if like the Bills and the Jets in November 23rd are locked into a battle for a playoff spot, maybe.
Yeah,
the Bills at Denver on Sunday, December 7th, that could be flexed. I don't know. It's hard to say at this point. Do you have one game in mind, Corey?
Maybe either the Green Bay game or the Oakland game late in the season if they're in the tight playoff battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine that both the Bills and Oakland being involved in a playoff race, but that could happen. I never gave that much thought. That's a good question. Talking about preseason tonight, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Scott Patoniak, who's ready to launch his new radio show in Rochester on our station in Rochester, ESPN Rochester. That's going to happen tomorrow. The Bills left Rochester today. We were down there this morning. Actually, I had to speak at a St. John Fisher College function bright and early this morning, 7:30 this morning. So we were down there for that. The Circles of Excellence group for St. John Fisher. What a great college that is. What growth in that campus, by the way, over the last, 15 years since the Bills have been down there. And not that the Bills are responsible for it, but really some great leadership and some great folks there who are stewards of the college. We had a chance to talk with them, and they were supposed to go to the 8 o'clock practice, and, of course, practice was washed out. The Bills had walkthroughs for defense, walkthroughs for offense in the gym at St. John Fisher, and then they lifted, and then lunch and on the bus, and right now they're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at their headquarters hotel and getting ready to bus over to Latrobe, about a 45-50 minute bus ride to Latrobe, Pennsylvania, almost due east from Pittsburgh, for practices with the Steelers tomorrow at about 3 o'clock. But before they left, some of the Bills met with some of the media outside St. John Fisher College today, including wide receiver Robert Woods, who's made a couple of big plays in these last two preseason games. So as it turns out, with yesterday off and with today rained out, the Bills got a couple of days off from practice, and Robert Woods was asked by the media if it was nice to get that break in the middle of a pretty grueling training camp.
Every break is good right now, just to recover and just get ready to attack another week of work.
What do you expect from these joint practices? Obviously, this team hasn't done it in a while. You haven't done it at the NFL level. Just what do you expect going into this?
Just going out there and compete, work hard, new look, new defense. Can be physical, I feel like, going against another team. Don't know each other, trying to prove a point. And just got to just be prepared for everything.
What can you learn? I mean, this can be a real measuring stick for you guys, right? I mean, over these next couple of days, you can really kind of get a sense as to where you guys are progress-wise, you think?
Right, I think so. Just, all the work we put in is really going to be like another game for us because a new team, like I said, everybody's going to be going hard. And just a good measuring stick for us going into the season.
Robert Woods talking to the media today at St. John Fisher College before the Bills left. Another wide receiver, Chris Hogan, also talked to media today. Hogan, of course, has made a big move up the depth chart, question mark to make the roster a year ago. Now he's running with the first team as the starting slot receiver. Chris Hogan was asked about his entire group and what the difference is between this year's receiving core and last year's group.
We're a young group again this year. We brought in a veteran, Mike Williams, and obviously, young guy, but Sammy Watkins, I mean, obviously he's everything that everyone expected him to be. I think that this group this year has got a lot of talent, up and down the roster, and, a lot of playmakers on this team. So I think, this team is, or this wide receiver group is, eager to get on the field and be able to make some plays.
You've been making some plays yourself this year. Care to talk about, what have you worked on from last year up until this point?
I think it's, being in this system for my, this will be my second year. I think that plays a big part in it. Being with EJ, this will be my second year with him. Being playing out of the slot, a lot of that has to do with chemistry with him and timing and all that stuff. So, you know, the time is, you know, can only help us. And, you know, I think, you know, we're getting to that point right now in camp where we're starting to build that chemistry and, you know, we're starting to feel that and starting to click as, you know, as a group and as a core.
Wide receiver Chris Hogan talking to the media today at St. John Fisher College. Last year, he played in all 16 games. He caught 10 passes. Much of his work was in special teams. This year, Chris Hogan is, of course, running with the first team as the slot, as we said. And he is working on that chemistry with E.J. Manuel. He was asked about working on that chemistry and how much progress he and E.J. have made throughout this training camp.
For me, I mean, that's a big part for me, you know, just to, you know, be a trustworthy guy on the field. So, obviously, if I want anyone to trust me, it'd be our quarterback. And when I'm on the field, and you know, if he trusts me, you know, to be in the right spot and win on my routes, you know, that's huge for me because then I, you know, can only help our offense and help EJ, you know, especially on third downs, because that's a huge, you know, we've stressed that a lot this offseason and going into camp, you know, we need to be better on third downs. And that's, you know, plain and simple, you know, there's certain percentages, you know, we need to be a certain percentage to make playoffs this year. And you know, that's what we're striving to be. So, you know, if EJ and me, you know, if we have a, you know, a good connection and our, you know, like I said, our chemistry is good on third downs, I mean, hopefully, you know, that'll help us get to our goal.
The way Chris Hogan talks, it sounds like they've got a target in mind, and they should, for third down conversions when he says we need to be at a certain number in order to have success this year. Last year on third downs, the Bills were not that great offensively. Looking it up right here, last year the Bills converted 34% of their third downs. You'd like to get up, you know, 38, 39, 40%, and then you know that you're doing a pretty good job on third down. So sounds like the Bills' offense is well aware of that and looking to make amends this year. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a brand-new radio show going to launch in Rochester tomorrow, the Radio Press Box on ESPN 95.7 and FM in Rochester. Talk with veteran sports writer Scott Pitoniak, one of the co-hosts of the show, when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're coming to you live tonight from our studios in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive. Tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night, we'll be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Wyndham Garden Hotel. That's the Bills headquarters hotel in Pittsburgh, getting set for the Bills-Steelers preseason game. They're going to practice with the Steelers the next few days. And then we're back in Rochester next week for a few more days. Next Wednesday night, a week from tonight, we're going to be live at Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill on Fairport Road in Fairport. We're going to do the entire show from Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill on Wednesday night, August 20th, the night before training camp ends. So we look forward to that. We've been on the air in Rochester for almost 2 years now. We've been on the ESPN FM outlet in Rochester, ESPN 95.7 FM, for the last couple of months. And we're going to have a pretty good lead-in starting very soon. On the line with us live right now, veteran Rochester sportscaster Scott Pitoniak. Scott, thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Hey, tomorrow is a big day, I think, right? You're going to launch your show, your radio show, the Radio Press Box, tomorrow night in Rochester.
Yeah, Dan Varello and I are going to be co-hosting it. We will be on the air starting at 3 o'clock. We go 3 to 7, and we lead into your show. So I think it's going to be a fun time. As you know, we carry the Bills on our station. We carry the Sabres as well. Rochester's an interesting sports town, obviously a big Buffalo sports town, but also big on Syracuse basketball as well, and a lot of good high school sports here too. So good minor league teams as well. So it should be fun. We'll be doing a lot of the local and then, you know, a lot of national trending topics as well.
It'll be great to have a local lead-in for our show. I mean, it amounts to your show is 3 to 7. We're 7 to 9. So what we're talking about is 6 hours of local sports programming on ESPN 95.7 in Rochester starting tomorrow. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a really good alternative for folks in Rochester.
Yeah, you know, having the ESPN brand is obviously huge, and I think now what we wanted to do was to add more local elements to it. And again, we're going to try to have a fast-paced show, and the Bills clearly are king in our market. There's no doubt about it, and we'll have an awful lot of Bills-related conversation. I think the Sabres are big too, but it's not quite as big.
as the Bills, unless they're heading to the Stanley Cup or whatever.
Yeah. We're live with Scott Pitoniak. He is the co-host of the new Radio Press Box radio show. It launches tomorrow on ESPN 95.7 FM in Rochester. He'll be co-hosting along with Dan Borello. Scott, you mentioned how the Bills are king in that market, and you've been around for an awfully long time, 25 years as a columnist and sports writer at the Rochester DNC. Have the Bills always been king in that market? I mean, have they? I assume they've always been the number one NFL team, but are they more popular now maybe than they have been forever?
Well, it's hard to top the popularity that, you know, they had during the Super Bowl run, obviously, but they're clearly a lot more popular. When I started in 1985, they were not. In fact, John, that's the big joke. When I was really excited when I was given the Bills beat in 1985, and I had colleagues at the newspaper coming and offering their condolences. You know, because let's face it, the Bills were coming off a 2-14 season, and they were ready. They were ready to embark on another 2-14 season. Jim Kelly wasn't there, and you didn't know if he was ever going to come there because the USFL was still vibrant, and so it was a whole different atmosphere. So back then, I would say no, not necessarily number one. They were close to it. The NFL was number one. But it's really just taken off, and obviously it grew when Jim came, Kelly came, and those great Super Bowl teams, and it's gone a little up and down, but it's still always been number one, even during these 14 years without the playoffs, and there's a lot of excitement about this, and you've seen it even with the news about 46,000 season ticket sales, which I think is pretty robust. Given the fact, you know, the team's coming off a 6-10 record and it has not made the playoffs, in 14 years.
You know, I was with a group in Rochester this morning, Scott, at St. John Fisher College, and I have to confess, I know that people in Buffalo are deep into the team and can go right down the roster and talk about, you know, third-string offensive linemen. I have to confess I was surprised at the depth of knowledge about the roster and the preseason issues from the small group that I was before this morning. It impressed me. I think that's grown a lot in Rochester. They don't look at the Bills as just a diversion anymore. It's kind of ingrained in that city over the last, I don't know, maybe since training camp's been there, the last 15 years.
Yeah, training camp certainly has helped. There's no question about it. I mean, they're the hometown team, despite the fact they're 75 miles away. I remember at the paper, any time we did any sort of scientific surveys or whatever, Bills far outdistance any other sports team. In the NFL, there's also an awful lot of fans of other NFL teams in this market. So it's almost as if, yeah, we're a suburb of Buffalo in terms of Bills' interest and how people feel about the team here. It's clearly their team as well, and it's borne out in the ticket sales where you've got 10, 15, 20,000, you know, people coming from this area for a Bills home game. So I'm not surprised, you know, by the depth of knowledge, and because we've had to keep feeding into that. The fans have become a lot more sophisticated, and their passion, you know, still is running deeper than ever.
We're on the line with veteran sports writer Scott Pitoniak, 42 years in the newspaper business, now getting into radio starting tomorrow. The Radio Press Box launches on ESPN in Rochester, ESPN 95.7 FM in Rochester. It'll be on right before our show on that station in the Rochester area. Scott, what about this year's Bills? Any conclusions to be drawn by the first two preseason games?
No, I think, you know, we're all keeping a close eye on EJ, obviously, and I was encouraged by the way he stepped up from, you know, that first game performance. I think it's in some ways it's just really fascinating to me to see just how closely he is scrutinized. It's just really amazing. Every single pass, you know, or we've got somebody tweeting about or whatever. Oh, that spiral wasn't quite good. Oh, that was. So, you know, I think you said it. It's a process, and I believe that too with EJ. It's not just going to happen overnight. So there were some encouraging signs, I thought, from that step up from the Hall of Fame game to last week's game, and I guess that's something, you know, you want to continue to see throughout this training camp because all eyes are on him, and many of us believe that, you know, as EJ goes, so go the Bills. And I think the one thing I will say is that I'm very encouraged by just the overall talent level of this football team. It's just, there's no question that it's much better than it was a year ago, two, three, 4 years ago. There's a dramatic difference. There's been obviously a dramatic turnover, but I like this. I think, you know, I think EJ has been surrounded with a great supporting cast. There's a lot of weapons there, John. And I think I told you before the last time I was on, I'm just so encouraged by the depth of this running back core. And I just become even more encouraged by it when we see these performances, you know, in these games. And I think what it's going to really allow is something that we had hoped to see before, and that is that Nathaniel Hackett will be able to experiment and have both C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson out there at the same time and be able to do some exotic, different things that are going to really stress the defense and are going to give, you know, E.J. more options. And Spiller, I mean, we've talked about the depth, but I was also very, very encouraged just on the few carries I saw by C.J. The burst, John, looks like it's back. This is not the same back who was hampered by the high ankle sprain last year. I mean, it really seems like he's back to the guy who was one of the most dynamic offensive weapons in the NFL 2 years ago.
Should be fun to watch. I'm wishing you good luck on this radio show, Scott. I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Have you ever done radio on a regular basis before?
I've done it on a weekly basis,
yep.
But never, you know, probably not to this extent. And obviously my radio experience in this area goes way, way back to John Murphy, when John Murphy was doing 4 hours a night, I remember, on Buffalo Station. And back in my rookie year covering the Bills and stuff, I remember spending a number of times with you on the radio.
Yeah, well, I hope I trained you well, Scott.
Well, you're a Syracuse guy, so you know, I hope that some of that will rub off, you know, on me, that great pedigree of sportscaster you.
I'm sure it will. Congratulations on this, Scott. We'll be listening tomorrow afternoon. Thanks very much for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks so much, John. Take care.
Scott Pitoniak, veteran sports writer in Rochester. And starting tomorrow, Scott and Dan Borello will host the Radio Press Box with Scott Pitoniak and Dan Borello on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM ESPN, ESPN Radio in Rochester. It'll be Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. It'll be the lead into our show on that station in Rochester, so we wish them well. A great live sports talk radio show on the air in Rochester starting at 3 p.m. tomorrow, taking you right into our show at 7 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Scott Pitoniak. We wish them well. Scott's going to be co-hosting that radio show in Rochester, 3 p.m. tomorrow, the Radio Press Box on ESPN 95.7 FM in Rochester, leading into our show. Want to remind you, earlier on tonight, we talked with Eric Wood, Bills offensive lineman, and he's down there in Pittsburgh where we will be tomorrow night. But Eric is the host of the Jocktails with the Bills party coming up in September to benefit Carly's Club. It is Monday, September 22nd at Templeton Landing in Buffalo. It's a fundraiser for Carly's Club. Entertainment provided by a friend of Eric's, country music star Joe Bachman. And Eric will round up some of his teammates. He'll be bartending for charity. Jocktails with the Bills, Monday, September 22nd. Eric said if you go to his Twitter page, at EricWood70, you can find out more details on that. We thank him for joining us tonight. I was just thinking, the Bills and the Steelers tomorrow and Sunday, tomorrow 3:30, Sunday about 5:30, joint practices. The Bills players have already talked about how they expect the intensity to be ratcheted up, expect a little bit more physical play. And I just noticed some video coming from the from Oxnard, California, the site of the Cowboys camp, where the Raiders and Cowboys are in day one of a two-day joint practice session. They got into a brawl. I mean, a brawl today. Offense and defense, Raiders and Cowboys, and even extended over to where the fans were standing. I just saw the video. You'll see it, I'm sure, on ESPN eventually tonight. That's a little bit over the top. You don't want that. You know, there'll be bad blood. There'll be hard hits. You don't want fights. But that's what went on between the Raiders and the Cowboys at their joint practice out in Oxnard, California today. Hey, for all your coverage of the Bills in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, make sure you check out BuffaloBills.com. We've got some special features planned. Chris Brown is already in place down there. We will be joining him tomorrow. We'll be doing the radio show down in Pittsburgh tomorrow, but we'll be out there at practice tomorrow at 3:30 in La Trobe, St. Vincent's College. Joint practices, and we've got it all covered at BuffaloBills.com with all the social media coverage and video highlights on BuffaloBills.com and, of course, our radio show at night. So we'll head down there tomorrow, get all set up, and get ready to bring you all the details of the Bills and the Steelers and their joint practices, which are tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday night. Then the Bills will have a walkthrough at Heinz Field on Friday, and then, of course, they'll play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday night. That's a 7:30 kickoff. So go to BuffaloBills.com if you want to follow the Bills as they move away from Rochester and down south into western Pennsylvania. You can also, if you miss portions of our show, go to BuffaloBills.com to catch up. BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We hit the road bright and early tomorrow. Hope to make it to Pittsburgh by 11 in the morning and hope to be out there on the practice field at St. Vincent's College at 3 in the afternoon. Looking forward to seeing it. It sounds like a good old-fashioned training camp. You know, maybe a little bit like Fredonia. Looking forward to seeing what it looks like down there. Looking forward to seeing some different uniforms for a while as well. Looking forward to seeing Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers go up against the Bills in a couple of days of practice. That'll do it for us tonight. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, T.J. Luckman. Our producer here in Orchard Park, Jay Harris. And the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Tomorrow night, we'll be in Pittsburgh with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.